Coming up on Patriots This Week. For all of Tom Brady's talents, perhaps his most overlooked is his toughness.
Brady got walloped in the backfield as soon as he spun to throw that ball.
Slowed by an injured knee, Brady willed his team to victory in the Meadowlands.
Mitchell has the catch inside the left pylon. Touchdown.
I try to, you know, show up and just do my best.
One more win, and number 12 will stand as the greatest winning quarterback in NFL history.
It means I've been a part of a lot of really great teams with great coaches and great teammates.
The NFL has returned to Los Angeles this year, but there will be no hoorays for Hollywood when the Rams come to Foxborough this week.
A young team that's fast, that's aggressive, that's played hard.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Bob Sosi, and in a few moments, we'll explore the Patriots' win over the New York Jets last Sunday. But first, I'm joined by Matt Chatham to discuss news that broke late in the week. And Matt, the Patriots learned that Rob Gronkowski is done for the regular season, it appears, with a back injury, scheduled to undergo surgery as we talked this past Friday morning. What does that mean for the Patriots going forward?
From a player's perspective, you feel terrible for him because you know how much he's been through, all right? And that's going to dominate the airwaves, and people are going to talk about that ad nauseum from this point on about, you know, is he going to be able to come back from this one? But it just sucks for a guy that you know has gone through that many rehabs, has fought back, and each time he's done it, he hasn't missed a beat. I mean, I think it took a while to get back to full-speed Gronk, but when we saw full-speed Gronk this season in October, you know, it was like you remember. He was that dominant guy. They have to have prepared for things like this, right? I mean, he's had some of the past injuries. I think in retrospect, you look back and the signing of Martellus Bennett would probably have to be connected to this, right? And the idea that they've got some duplicate skill sets. Now you have both Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell, two guys that have won down the field. So I just would look at the roster now and say it's built much differently, much, much differently than any of these other times where they've not had him.
In other words, this team has a lot of different ways to get it done, even without Gronk, and they know that from experience this year alone.
Look back to other years when you lose Gronk. It was, you know, who the other guys? The Scott Chandler and Who Man, or Who Man and Mike Williams, or Daniel Fells and Matt Mulligan. And it was never a situation, unlike this year, where the replacement is a frontline guy. He's a starter in the NFL. He's a number one. He's a guy who can be a high target. That situation hasn't happened before. So the reason I think that's important, because of all those different weapons they have, I think they're actually in a unique position for this time around to not have to change what they do. I think you can slot in, and Bennett can do everything that Gronk could, provided healthy.
He's always worked hard to come back from his injury problems. Looking ahead for Rob Gronkowski, there is a possibility, at least at first glance, when you look at the initial reports, that if the Patriots were to advance to where they want to go, he could conceivably come back. But they've got an interesting decision to make the next couple of weeks. They've already brought Jacoby Brissett back to practice. When it comes to short-term IR, at least putting a guy in injured reserve with intentions of bringing him back, in the case of Gronkowski, you've got to make some roster decisions. Do you put him on the shelf for the rest of the year regardless?
Yeah.
How does that affect other positions and the depth on the roster?
It just sounds scary when a guy's had multiple back surgeries. It's had his third, so what if you could hurry him back and, you know, tape him up and suit him up and stick him out there? Man, just for the guy's livelihood, presume this is as serious as it seems to have surgery, you'd probably just say, hey, man, he's a really important part of this organization. A healthy Gronk is more important to us as opposed to squeezing him into a singular game. So I would probably, you know, just as a friend, say, hey, man, take care of yourself.
Well, it was a short-lived stay for Rob Gronkowski at the Meadowlands on Sunday, injured early in the game, and the Patriots were down by a 10-0 score. And as we begin our look back at that matchup, our Scott Zolak, my radio partner on 98.5 The Sports Hub, tells us about what the Patriots proved working through the adversity once again to win on the road.
There's a trend that's starting to formulate right now, and they're a pretty good road team. They're undefeated on the road, six road wins. And you listen to some sports talk shows, not to say which ones across the Boston area. I think ours is pretty good. But some are kind of discrediting every win. Like, there are bad teams out there, and they beat San Francisco, and they beat the Jets, just a bunch of bad teams. You play who you're supposed to play. You can't do anything about the schedule. You take care of your own self, and you're 9-2, and you're sitting in a pretty good spot right now.
That's what we do every Monday. Who do we blame for the win?
Yeah. You know, like, suckers, boy, did they beat another bad team.
Exactly.
God forbid.
It's sort of a ridiculous cycle we're in, but I would say the one thing you had to understand that was really obvious to me getting that first quarter into the second quarter, Pepper Johnson, my old coach, he runs the D-line there for the Jets, and you looked at some of sort of the games, where they put the pressure, where they tried to work the pocket, knowing Tom had missed practices with a knee. I mean, That's just sort of smart football game planning stuff. They did it, but once the Patriots sort of settled themselves and Tom sort of got back into his groove, there were some rough times there. It was sort of back to business as usual. And in those moments, defensively, they had some really great situational stands.
Regarding the nabobs of negativity, reacting to that game, in particular, the defense still under a lot of scrutiny and criticism. And I think you look at the surface going in. You got a tough matchup with two good receivers, Marshall and Enunwa, two good backs, whether running or receiving, in Powell and, more impressively, Forte.
Yeah.
And you've got a quarterback who's played well against the Patriots with 2 weeks to prepare. Division game, a lot of familiarity. Did the defense take a step forward with two takeaways, putting the Jets to fewer than 3 yards per carry as well? And, of course, in the end, making enough plays to win the game.
You look at this game, and I thought Malcolm Butler and his ability to be in the hip pocket of Marshall and Enunwa, I don't know what more you can coach or how you can coach how to defend it. I mean, it's a size mismatch, checkmark Jets. They win that one. But at some point, you got to find a way to defend the bigger wide receivers. Something's got to happen there because, I mean, Malcolm's compete level, and to see him, you know, come back and punch the one ball out, you're forcing turnovers. That's not luck of the draw. That's not the way the ball bounces. That's a great job by Malcolm on that.
Again, I don't think you judge yourself where this is a normal November. It to me, is sort of midseason training camp. You're looking at Eric Rowe. You're looking at Van Noy. You're looking at McClellan in a different role. And I think a lot of these guys sort of have to get up to speed.
Again, some of the questions, a lot of the questions have been valid about the defense over the course of the last several weeks. They went three games without a takeaway, but now they've gotten two, including the Butler play and the Chris Long strip sack and a three-man rush to seal the win. How much confidence does that give the defense going forward?
The important thing here is it's not some crazy call. It's not Matt Patricia needs to design a play to get a turnover. It's not that. It's the players that have to make plays. Yeah. I think in both of those instances, it's just a guy in a one-on-one situation having great ball awareness and winning his guy. That's it. That's how turnovers happen in the NFL.
Rookie who's earning reps and props, Malcolm Mitchell.
Yeah, I liked him from day one. First thing I look at with a receiver when he gets into camp, where does he catch the ball? Is he allowed to come in his pads or does he pluck it with the hands? And Malcolm catches it in his hands. And that's a step. It's a great step for a rookie because I think you earn the trust of the quarterback. And that's really the bigger thing here. That Brady's looking to go to him in 3rd and 7, you know, trying to take that shot down the field. But he fights for the football. And when you fight for the football in tight coverage, Brady will continue to go back to you.
One of the cool things you always like to see with a young player is that tape that you had in college, and for him at the University of Georgia, a very good school, does that tape translate to the NFL? And if you go back and look at his highlight tape, the kinds of plays that he really excelled at there was a slant catch and run, the deep comeback on the outside, posts where he gets the ball and makes big plays.
It's the old Deion Branch type stuff where you can play fake away and let him win the one-on-one and use the body. He's got nice size to him.
Oh, he does, surprisingly. Length for not being real tall. But the point of it is, everything you've seen him do at the collegiate level that got him into the NFL, he's now done in the NFL. I mean, obviously in a small sample, but it looks like everything in his game translates. That's a good deal.
And Chris Hogan, with a throw, of course, drawing the pass interference, the left-handed rainbow down the sideline on a trick play early, but also a key catch, and Tom Brady being able to climb the pocket in that instance, playing really on one leg. He was immobile early, and certainly he was errant with his throws, but somehow, some way, again, when the game's on the line, he finds a way.
Yeah, and I think that's experience. You fall back on that money time, that final 5 minutes where, okay, I'm going to tune everything out, I'm going to get past the pain. He didn't step up in the pocket all day until he needed to on that Hogan throw. And that's the big third down right there. But, I mean, I don't know what more to say about Brady. And, you know, we watch the warm-ups. I've done this for 17 years, following the guy. And I could just tell something was not right with him, and he's working through something. But when you needed him the most, he found a way to ignore the pain and get through it.
You go back to that game-winning drive, and you look at that, it was pristine protection. Absolutely a wall in front of him, and he was able to pick him apart. So just the toughness factor, I think, there with Tom, for not having the mental reps or physical reps during the week, for having the pain and clearly affecting his mechanics, to be able to pull it all together when it mattered most.
And as we mentioned, 200th career win as a starting quarterback, joining Peyton Manning in that elite company. Hail to the Chiefs. Upon return on Patriots This Week, right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight
is on Julian Edelman. The wide receiver is now in his eighth season in New England, and the one-time seventh-round draft choice out of Kent State had a clutch 24-yard reception against Darrell Revis to jumpstart the game-winning drive against the Jets. And the 5'10", 200-pounder has the best punt return average of any active player. The former quarterback is one of only three Patriots to catch 100 or more passes in a season. But the reception Patriot fans will remember best beat Seattle in the Super Bowl. The Putnam Players Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We're in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots this week continues. Now, the Pats were scheduled to play the Jets originally, guys, in prime time on Sunday night. That game got flexed out, and it turned out to be a great decision by NBC to put the Broncos head-to-head at home with the Kansas City Chiefs, who win it in overtime. Really a wild finish to that game. Let's start with Gary Kubiak's decision in overtime. He's got a reliable kicker in the high altitude, the thin air in Denver. He goes for the 60-plus yard field goal to win it from Brandon McManus. He misses, and then eventually Cairo Santos bangs one off the left upright and through to win it for the Chiefs. Joe DeCamillis, Matt, was the special teams coach in the ear of Gary Kubiak. What are the things he considers in that moment?
He knows at that moment he can't win because either decision, if it doesn't go right, you're wrong. You're basically at midfield with field position if you miss, and it's one of the longer field goals you can hit. It's not so much can a guy kick at that distance, because I heard sort of quotes after that, hey, he's hit from 70 in practice. Well, you know what? The amplitude has to change, because when you get further back, yeah, they have to kick a low ball. And what you saw Alan Branch do, that's what they do, because the ball comes down, the guys stick their hands up. So even if you could make it, you could kick it that far, the point is they put themselves in a bad position.
You gave Kansas City a short field. That's a tough thing to do to a divisional opponent in your own house. I mean, if that happened here in New England, we wouldn't be happy if the Jets drove it 20 yards and kicked the field goal to win.
I would say the biggest answer there is beyond just the situation he was put in there. Denver's not in that spot if they hadn't blown it on special teams. This is one of the games where special teams really affected the game. Gave up a kick return for a touchdown, fumbled a punt return, jumped, had too many guys to the right of center on a field goal that restarted a drive that made points. So that was one of those games where Denver's defense still looks dominant. They looked really, really good.
There's a different level.
Special teams.
I think both sides.
He's got a lot of faith in that defense.
I mean, both of them, too. I mean, Nate, you're putting it in your unit's hands that you trust the most, and that's your defense.
Baltimore Ravens win at home. They stay atop the AFC North. They seal it against the Bengals with a safety intentionally holding the Bengals players, almost every Raven out there committing a holding penalty as the final seconds run off the clock.
It's really funny that a guy like John Harbaugh, you know, ever since the Michael Omanawanui play, where the undeclared offensive lineman is now looking for loopholes to circumvent the system here. And I'm using big words like he uses because I'm trying to sound important here. It's funny because here you are now. Harbaugh all of a sudden is a master of the rule book after Tom Brady told him maybe he should go study the rule book.
He's read up now.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's been sort of the holder of loony ideas. He wanted guys to wear vests so that you could know who was ineligible. Like street crossing guard kind of vest kind of
deal. What happened to the Ravens? Just show up and I want to kick your rear and we're going to rub your face in it. Now all of a sudden they're rule studiers.
Now he's floating the idea of a point awarded to a kickoff that goes through the uprights. He just happens to have the best kicker in the league right now, Justin Tucker.
It's so silly. He's doing sort of the XFL stuff. It's goofy. Just quiet, you know, coach your team and get it done. I think at the end of the day, it's a lack of integrity. Zoe kind of hit on that. He's the one who was barking about that being a problem, and now he's making more of them himself.
From John Harbaugh to Jeff Fisher and the LA Rams, next on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a look at one of the best fantasy players. I say, why fantasy players? Because if you play fantasy football, you know who Todd Gurley is. Let's take a look at him here. Easy, offset eye. It's like a high school offense right here. A little fullback inside. They call that the wham play. They call this the wham guy right here because look at the balance. Look at the ability to keep the feet. This guy's a heck of an athlete. It's not a lot of smoke and mirrors. Stop it right here. Okay, so you see it right here. You got eight guys around the box. You know, Matt Chatham and I talk about cover two, cover one. You're going to bring eight guys in the box. Part of what you risk when you bring this many people down, go ahead and roll the tape, this guy's ability to get up on the safety and then get to the end zone. So he runs the ball a lot, right? Well, they also do this. Here comes Gurley out. Nice little touch pass over the top. So the guy has the ability to run the football great between the tackles, but more importantly, third down effects. Todd Gurley, find him, get on him. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Abby, welcome you back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues as the Pats prep for the L.A. Rams. Football back in Los Angeles after a 21-year hiatus. Got off to a terrible start, shut out by the 49ers on opening night. Won the next three, but overall 4-7. And Jeff Fisher's on the hot seat.
Bingo. Shocker. There you go. That's the study for this game, Jeff Fisher. I don't know, and to say this politely, I respect him because he's been in the league. When you're in the league and you have that type of tenure, and that's what we look at, you have pictures on somebody when you don't have the success rate. You know, when you're talking about 10-6 win teams, Fisher's got this bravado about him, and he likes to show up and, in essence, kick your butt too. And they got a heck of a defensive coordinator in Greg Williams, but. They are what they are. You're 4-7 for a reason, and they're not a good football team.
Last couple times Patriots have played Jeff Fisher-led teams, the spread is like 100 to like 7 or something. Yeah. Some really crazy statistic. But one of the things I'd look at in this game, though, is the decision to move to Jared Goff. I think that's very important because they finally made the right call. And I know Case Keenum was sort of their steady guy that they were going to sort of make the transition to, but Goff had a pretty rough game against the Dolphins 2 weeks ago, had a much better game last week against the Saints. But I think that Saints tape is something that's a really good sort of set to look at what the offense does around him. He's pretty trained to go to the off guy, throw away from the safeties, go to your checkdowns, kind of the basic developmental sort of building blocks kind of things you see with young quarterbacks. But that's something the Patriots should be able to take advantage of.
Sticking with the offense, there are guys who can be dynamic, like Kayvon Austin. Yep. Kenny Britt's a tough matchup again, a receiver who runs well, has size. You mentioned Gurley, but there are issues on their offensive line.
Yes,
they
exactly.
Scratched left tackle Greg Robinson, a healthy scratch with a league-leading 12 penalties.
Yeah, there's something going on there, and I don't know what it is, but if you can't protect a young quarterback, talk to Troy Aikman. You know, you're going to end up getting your head bounced off the ground. You're going to end up with 1-15 type seasons. They got to find a way to protect this kid, and they got to get his confidence going early. But I watched a lot of that game last week. His first touchdown pass of his career, the one to Tavon Austin. Nice little, you know, post-corner route. Put the ball in the right spot, and that's kind of the old routes he used to throw at Cal, and that's why they liked him. It's off the back foot, throw for spots. This is dangerous. I think you're going to see a lot of high two safety game in this game because you don't want Britt, you don't want Austin making big plays down the field.
I disagree. This hasn't happened in a while. The reason I say that, Zoe, is because the two safety looks that the Saints gave him, that was one of the only times that they were able to get a running game going with Gurley. I think when teams have had a guy down in the box, they've struggled. But it'll be interesting to see which way they go.
And although the Rams gave up 49 to the Saints, they allowed only 50 points total in the previous four games. There's a lot of talent on that defense.
There are, and I think that's what Jeff Fisher likes to hang his hat on, his ability to get them going. And, you know, with Greg Williams, they have some pride there. So it's two guys that have pretty good defensive minds that have been in the league for a long time.
You know, you got to protect the inside of the pocket, obviously, with Donald and Brockers and Quinn. They've got Ogletree. They've got all these first-round picks on the same roster, again, because they've been bad. But there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball, and you don't want to get into one of those games where you're trying to beat them 10-7, 13-10. Those things, those don't typically happen with this Patriots offense, but that's what has gotten other teams sort of in trouble.
So it's the Patriots offense against the Rams defense. They intersect Sunday at 1. Back to tell you how it all turns out with our game changers and the outcome predictions right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Rookie Michael Thomas has been on fire for the Saints, grabbing two touchdowns against the Rams. Start Thomas this week at home against the suspect Lions secondary. Despite a breakout season, Dolphins back Jay Ajayi should sit this week out. The Ravens are tough against the run, especially at home. And get Emmanuel Sanders into your lineup this week. After a 2-TD game against the Chiefs, the receiver will be a key factor in the Broncos' must-win game at Jacksonville. This week's Fantasy Update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
All right, time to close things out on Patriots This Week with our predictions for the outcome of the Pats and the Rams. Matt Chatham and your game changer.
Real quick, Patriots 29-10, and this is boring, but it's LeGarrette Blount again. The last thing you want to do is sit back and pass rush and let Donald beat you up. Get after those edges with Blount.
All right, I got him 31-9. And then Monday's going to happen. The Patriots are going to be discredited for beating another bad football team. Off the Blunt topic, if Blunt gets going, I like the play action to Edelman. I think Edelman's going to have 8 catches for over 100 yards. We finally get him in the end zone a couple times.
So if you want to hear fair analysis of the Patriots and the Rams, tune in to Zoe 10 o'clock, 98.5, the Sports Hub on Monday with his partner, Mark Bertrand. That's my shameless plug for the flagship. For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Kosky. Thanks so much for joining us on Patriots This Week. We'll talk to you again next week. So long, everyone.